Hello?
Yeah, just go ahead, Arnetta.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm so glad to be on Hope is Alive. It's been a bit, a few Sundays that I have not been able to get on due to I had an illness. But anyway, God is good, and I'm here. I'm so glad to be on today. And I wanted to wish everybody that is listening, the 4th is coming up, and we want you to be safe. And we just have to remember that the reason why we have the 4th is because it's been mandated by certain men that want us for Independence Day. And we have to remember, too, that all the holidays that we have, God is always somewhere around and in them. And he touches us all the time. He touches us and lets us know that we do have a 4th coming, a July 4th Independence Day coming up. And we want all of our God's people, we want you all to be safe and know that we are here because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And we're here to serve him today. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here again on Hope is Alive. I want to thank Brother Brown, William Brown. And I'm glad I'm back on. And anytime you need me, just call me. But anyway, we're going to open up today's service with in the Bible, it's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 through 11, and it's regarding the mission of John the Baptist. And it goes like this. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good things, good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good things. Lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. God bless the reading of his word. Again, it was chapter 40, Isaiah, verse 3 through 11. And with that, I will end with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, first of all, just thanking you for letting us see another Sunday that we can praise your holy name. Father, it's been so good to know that you are always, always with us. You direct our path. You wake us in the morning, bring us to your church, let us eat your food, put your clothes on, drive your car. Father, it's so good to know that we are your people. Father, we want to take the time, though, to bless those who wanted to be here this morning and could not, those that who are on the bed of affliction, those that are bereaved, they've lost a loved one. But, Father, we're asking you for your blessings upon all mankind. We're blessings for those who are going through their trial and their tribulation. But they have to know that sometimes weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we need to know, Lord, that it's always morning time. Thank you, Lord, for New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you for Dr. Owens. Thank you for William Brown to have Hope is Alive so this broadcast can go out through the world. Father, we need to always hear your word. Father, we're lost without it. I don't know what people would do that don't have it, but I'm praying that any of those that are listening to this broadcast will be able to seek and find the Lord and be one of his people. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, for sitting high and looking low. And we always shall always give you the praise and the glory. These things we ask in Jesus' magnificent, most matchless name. Amen.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Glory. Glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh. We'll cry glory, oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
We give glory to our God who is God alone. And what a time to exalt him when those who rule over us in government have gone awry and done things that were that shall prove to be again unjust and in no wise contributing to the betterment of our society, when we are once again the brunt of arrogance and inequality and injustice at the highest levels. What a time to give glory to our God, who is God alone. Today I address you from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, in the New King James Version. It reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.'" My friends, I want to talk about crisis and coronation. Crisis and coronation. When reading the vivid account of Isaiah's vision, that part enclosed in verses 1 through 7, I was gripped by how Isaiah minimizes other important details of his experience in order to draw our attention to the central focus of his report. That focus is unmistakably the glory and majesty of God, the Holy One of Israel. The report begins in verse 1, noting the time, as in the year King Uzziah died, which we will see later was the year of a frightening kingdom emergency, or if you will, a national crisis. Verse 5 communicates the personal crisis Isaiah felt of being in the presence of the Lord unclean. Verses 1 and 5 serve as the framework, the outlying borders within which Isaiah paints for our mind's eye and heart's reflection a picture of God on his throne. He describes God in his majesty, God in his glory, God in his rightful place, exercising authority over the hosts of heaven who honor him with praises and submission to his will. That's the vision Isaiah sees in the midst of a national and personal crisis. Many are the crises, national and worldwide in scope today, that keep us on edge, tuned into the news for the latest developments to find out if we're going to avert some life-threatening danger. Many are the personal and private struggles that, left unresolved, leave us mired in confusion without any peace of mind. Isaiah's vision says to me that the resolution of all our crises will depend on our willingness to put God back on the throne as King of our nation and Lord of our lives. That God still sits on his throne is not to be denied, but there is a throne over our nation where supposedly in God we trust, and there is a throne in our hearts where supposedly Christ is Lord. But as it regards our nation and our personal lives, how we handle our crises says a whole lot about who sits on our throne. So some problems would never escalate to critical dimensions if we would just learn to subject everything to the authority of God. We live with the alarm of one crisis after another because we have crowned the wrong kings. Listen to the complaint of Isaiah. He suggests that the crisis in Israel arose because God's people dethroned the righteous king in favor of idols who were no kings or gods at all, but images made by their own hands. The Revised Standard Version of his proclamation puts it this way: they have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. The land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. Isaiah longed for the day to return when the Lord alone would be exalted. The nature and disposition of people, even God's people, hasn't changed much. All it takes is a little while living on Easy Street for us to forget who brought us through the hard times. All it takes is having plenty of this, plenty of that, to make us stingy and forget when we made it from one day to the next because somebody else shared what they had. As a people, we stayed on our knees when we trusted in the Lord, when we knew no other God who could make a way out of no way. But now, we trust our political leaders for a way out. We look to our bank accounts to secure our future against any hardship. We expect our education and profession to ensure that we will always be treated with respect. As a new nation, just starting out, a baby taking its first steps, we sang God Bless America. We pledged allegiance to the flag which stood for one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We grounded the Declaration of Independence upon certain self-evident truths: that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On paper, God was on the throne, but in practice, God was dethroned. Power and profit and prestige were put on the throne. Can we expect anything but trouble when we dethrone God? When we bring him down from his rightful place over the affairs of our nation and our personal lives, can we expect peace and prosperity, justice and social harmony, when we have collectively and individually held a coronation for other kings? When in fact, as it was with Israel and Judah, we are serving gods who are no gods at all, but the works of our own hands. Are not our dreams and ambitions full of images that have ourselves high and lifted up, swooning to the praises of men and women who think we are someone great? Isn't this the land of opportunity that teaches us that anyone can have fame and fortune? Yes, get all you can get, be all you can be, but keep it with a perspective that does not challenge the right of God to rule in your life. There is a scene in the motion picture Gandhi that I pray I will never forget. Gandhi is walking along with a newspaper reporter conducting an interview. After hearing some of the dreams Gandhi had for liberating his people from under the foot of British oppression and establishing a new way of life, after speaking anxiously and enthusiastically about the part Gandhi wanted to play in the historic process, the reporter said to Gandhi, "Mr. Gandhi, you are an ambitious man." Gandhi reflects for a moment and then replies, "I hope not." Gandhi understood, and surely this is why he was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s chosen mentor. He understood that purely selfish ambition can turn the color of our motives to something tainted and unclean. It can lift high the wrong priorities and exalt the wrong values. When our nation will not crown God king, that he might rule over the policies and programs of our government, when God has to put the government on his shoulders, because the people to whom we gave power and authority don't in any wise share his heart. And when in our personal lives he is not Lord, we are to expect one crisis after another. Ronald E. Clements called the year King Uzziah died a year of destiny for Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms that had as its citizens the chosen people of God. It was a year of destiny because the fate of the two sister kingdoms would depend on the power and might of the king they would choose to trust in the midst of what was a national emergency. Even though the chosen of God were split into two kingdoms with different administrations, they were, as the chosen of God, one nation in terms of who was supposed to be their God and king. Uzziah ruled Israel, and Ahaz ruled Judah. During the years of Uzziah's strength, the two kingdoms enjoyed a peaceful interlude from foreign aggression. But Assyria, that nation that was the most vicious of foreign enemies, was in that interlude of peace a sleeping giant in recuperation. She would, in the year of Uzziah's death, be restored as a wickedly devastating power. Fear infused the two kingdoms of God, and each did what they thought would deliver them from destruction. Each employed their own strategy. Israel formed an alliance with Syria. She thought safety in numbers and thought to increase her security by persuading the sister kingdom of Judah to join the alliance. But Judah had her own plan. Ahaz, the ruler, thought it wise to get on the good side of the king of Assyria before the crisis got really bad. His was a policy of appeasement with the enemy's king. Both of God's kingdoms, Israel and Judah, put their confidence in the power and might of foreign rulers. They did not, in this critical hour, remember the power and might of the Holy One who delivered them. Delivered them when horses and chariots from the superpower nation of Egypt chased them to what would appear to be a watery grave. When by no device of their own, they crossed on over on dry land while Pharaoh's army got drowned. When they planned their strategy for resolving this crisis, they did not remember whose battle plan it was to march seven times around the walls of Jericho when they were hoping to be established in the land of Canaan. No, they did not remember whose power and might it was when Gideon, threatened by an army that in numbers looked like a valley of locusts, God said, "Gideon, the people you have are too many for me." And with a band of just 300 God-fearing men, God delivered the Amalekites into Gideon's hands. I tell you, it doesn't pay to be forgetful when it comes to your journey with God. You're going to be in bad shape the next time trouble comes if you cannot remember what God has already done. If you've known him for any period of time, then you know he has a good track record for delivering you, for coming through just in time, and for showing up when he is needed. That's why David said, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." That's why I could hear the elder sisters and brothers in the church of my spiritual birth singing with joy and gladness, oh, what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me. There is no burden that's too heavy for him, no weight that he can't carry. There is no battle that he can't win and no problem that he can't solve. There is no hurt that he can't heal and no disease that he can't cure. He's comfort in sorrow. He's peace in confusion. He's light for your darkest day. You can't afford to forget God. He is everything you need in any situation. He's got answers you haven't conceived possible. Doors he can open you didn't even know existed. People to help you you haven't even met yet. Trust him. He is not just a God of sunny days. He also rides on the winds of the storm. While Israel and Judah were courting other kings, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He was sitting in his rightful place. He was being praised by the heavenly host. He saw the righteous king that had been forsaken by his people. And before the Holy One of Israel, Isaiah acknowledged the uncleanness of the nation, but not without recognizing the uncleanness of his own person. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. My friends, there is something about seeing God in his rightful place that shows us where we really are. But you don't have to be in sin. You can be saved by God's grace. You can only get away with thinking you are better than anybody else when you don't have God in the right place. When God is in the right place, then you understand that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the light of his holiness, there is room for all of us to get cleaned up. Don't spend all your time complaining about how bad society is if you're not going to get yourself together. Don't talk about the crises in the world if you're not doing anything about making a difference in your own community. Sometimes we forget we were not dispatched from heaven where uncorrupted angels sing in unison, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We sit where Isaiah sat, in need of a redeeming touch. If you have God in his rightful place, then you understand that unless God cleans you up and accepts you for his service, you have a personal crisis of the worst kind on your hands. Isaiah realized that what was wrong with the nation was also wrong with him. But he recognized God in this vision in a way that he had not realized him before. He realized God in his rightful place, and Isaiah felt lost before him. But seeing and accepting God in his place was the beginning of Isaiah finding his own place. It put him in a position to receive the kind of blessing that would fix him up and make him a champion for righteousness in the midst of a national and personal crisis when God needed a spokesperson for his way and his will. God purged the sin in Isaiah's personal life. He cleaned him up so he could be a suitable vessel. And Isaiah hears the call, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" With unbridled zeal, Isaiah answers, "Here am I, send me." The vision and the voice was no figment of Isaiah's imagination. It was the means by which God revealed his purpose for Isaiah's life. The vision and the voice was God taking the initiative to get in touch with his people, to show them their uncleanness and remind them of his rightful place. That God finds a way to get in touch with us, even when we have put him in the background and given him a back seat while we go on our own way and serve other gods. That he finds a way to get in touch with us is the good news. That even though his anger is not turned away from our sins, his hand is outstretched still. So God used the nation of Assyria as his arm of judgment against his people for crowning other kings and serving other gods. But he used his revelation to Isaiah to show the glory of his love. His hand is outstretched still to our nation and to every person, and the whole world, because the crisis we handle today are crises we face because we've trusted rulers to lead whose policies and programs don't have God's blessing. We grope in darkness for material riches, for power, for prestige, for personal gain. We are losing our sense of family. Marriage is becoming, for many, a worn-out institution. Young and old alike strung out on old and new forms of substance abuse, suicide on the rise. diseases resistant to any cure, not just COVID, but other diseases are challenging medical science for answers that will save lives. Our hearts have become so hard toward one another that racism is now deemed a public health crisis. The day is dark with national and personal crises. But I didn't get up this morning to be the bearer of bad news. I came to be the bearer of good news. One dark night in Bethlehem, the stars seemed to twinkle a little brighter, and the moon seemed to shine with a greater glow. Jesus, the Christ child, was being born in a lowly stable because the innkeeper didn't realize he had a VIP on the premises. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Savior of the world, put on a garment of flesh and entered into this world in the womb of a woman. He was born into a world where sin had reached crisis proportions. Time after time, Jesus proved to be a crisis resolver. He handled a medical crisis for a man that was lame, told him to take up your bed and walk. He handled a moral and legal crisis for an adulterous woman and told her to go and sin no more. He handled a political crisis posed by religious elitists trying to trip him up and told the listening audience to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. He previewed his prophetic handling of our moral, ethical, and social crises by declaring, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." There is no greater crisis than a crisis of a soul lost in sin. Jesus remedied that crisis on Calvary's hill, where he was lifted up on an old piece of rugged wood for your sins and mine. Our sins, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and we bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. A thief hanging beside the Savior recognized the innocence and sanctity of his divine sacrifice, and that gave him an awareness of his own sin and guilty stain. And with dying breath, he pleaded only to be remembered when the Lord comes into his glory. Jesus, for that man's faith and sincerity of heart, said to him what he says to all of us who by faith believe in him and receive him to newness of life. "You too," he, Jesus said, "will be with me in paradise. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even that cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire for all that know not of thee. Then touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary. Yes, I speak of Calvary, because it was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Who is the King of Kings? Who is the Lord of Lords? Who shall put all enemies under his feet? I tell you, he is Jesus the Christ. Crown him, who arose the victor from the dark domain and lives forever with his saints to reign. Crown him. Crown him first in your life, Lord of all. Crown him as King of the nation. Crown him as the creator of all this world. We belong to him. For he made us, he died for us, he rescued us and delivered us. And now we are his own. Crown the right king, and he will put all things in his order. Crown the right king, and he'll make wrong things right. Crown the right king, and he shall put all things in order that have been according to his purpose and plan for us all along. I crown him Lord of my life, Will you receive him and crown Jesus Lord of yours? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise ye the Lord. I invite you to do as I have done. I invite you to do as the Church of Jesus Christ has done through the ages. That is to receive him as Lord of your life. Receive him as Savior of your soul. And he will indeed do for you what he's done for the generations. That is to give you the gift of grace and mercy to receive you unto himself. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, inasmuch as we have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he has indeed made us a part of a family of faith. And to that family, he has called us together to share in the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, in remembrance of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and the victory that indeed belongs to us, because we belong to him. And I invite you to gather to yourselves now representations of his body and his blood. Gather to yourself the bread or crackers to represent his broken body, the fruit juice to represent his poured out blood. And we consecrate these elements as signs of our faith that we do believe in the Savior and the Son. And we do believe he reigns forevermore. As I share with you this scripture, gather your elements and be prepared to receive what Jesus has left for the church and for every believer that fellowships with the faith that makes us one with all those who have called on the name of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 23, it reads, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let us take that which represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ. "We consecrate it, Lord, unto thee. These are but common elements, and so are we. But in your hands they become representations of the power of God to transform our lives. You took on sin, death, hell, and the grave for us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will receive this blessing that you have left for the church in remembrance of you. Now, saints, let us receive the bread as his broken body. We thank you, Lord, for the word made flesh, dwelling among us to show us the love of God. Let us receive the juice, the drink offering that represents his blood poured out. We do so in Jesus' name. We do so with thanksgiving that he indeed poured out his blood that is our redemption. May we be covered. May the multitude of our sins be cleansed as he promised to take our sins away. We thank you, Lord, and pray your blessing upon our lives as we go forward, walking in the way that you have shown us how. Bless it. Be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Your grace and mercy brought I'm living this morning. moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. For in this moment, because of you, I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy. A sinner like me to save the world. Salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right. Demanded that I should die, but grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no, we've already paid the price. You see, I once was blind, but thank God I can see. It was because grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Ah, your grace brought me through. I'm living this moment. I'm living this moment.
Your grace and mercy. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I want to thank Reverend Arnetta Carpenter for giving us the greetings today. The greetings scripture and prayer, and also to our very own Dr. Michael Andrew Owens for a powerful, powerful sermon on this first Sunday of July. And now welcome to the set, Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. A glorious day it is. Say that again, sir.
Did we send some of your, some of our sunshine your way? Because we got it to spare now.
Oh, well, along with the heat. Yes, you did. And you mix that with the humidity on the East Coast, and boy, you got a party going. a sweat party, perspiration. I mean, good gracious, man. You know, it's a little warm. It's about 95 degrees, and it feels like 105.
Yeah, well, you just remember where the heat comes from, and you come on back to the source.
You know, I might have to make that trip, Dr. Owens. Might have to. You know, I miss New Hope.
It rises in the east, but it sets in the west, so it's on its way where it came.
You know, I do miss New Hope more than you know. More than you know. Oh my God, I miss all my family back there. My friends, I have family here, but I talk about my New Hope family, man. I miss you guys so much, man. It's really. But I get a chance to really communicate with you each and every Sunday, you know, with the gospel explosion, and hope is alive. And it's so good hearing your voice, sir. And I've got a few questions to ask you. You know, we have a holiday coming up. Independence Day. Yeah, Independence Day. Okay. But I have a question about that. Because with recent developments, you know, with the Supreme Court decisions, and America doesn't seem so beautiful. I mean, the country, you know, that's why I love the sermons on Sunday, because it reminds us what's really good, right? But after the latest rulings regarding the Supreme Court, especially with in regards to affirmative action, do you think we should still be celebrating Independence Day?
Well, I tell you, it's a holiday.
Yes.
It's not a holy day.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on a holiday, you celebrate according to the man's tradition.
Yes.
But when it's a holy day,
come on,
you celebrate the will of God, the word of God, and the move of God in history.
Amen.
And that's why we get together on Sunday morning, to honor the one who's still moving in history to make wrong things right. So the foundation has been shaken, but the foundation is not destroyed.
Mm.
What a few men have done and what a few men have voted to have come to pass only means that they have made their mark in history, and it's a mark that we trust our God will erase. Because man can turn back the hands of time, as it were, but he can't turn back the hand of God.
Amen.
And the hand of God often moves toward liberation. It moves toward freedom. It moves toward redemption. It moves toward dignity and respect and honor of each person as God's creation. And nothing that man does will ever thwart the determined will of God to bring to pass his kingdom.
Amen.
And so it's a dark, but the foundation remains strong, because even though we've not lived up to our best design and vision, God is in that foundation. Liberty is in that foundation. The dignity of all mankind is in that foundation, and it remains for us to live up to it and to do our very best in every season of our history to reach for better than what has been.
Amen.
So that's for us, especially people of God, to reach for the vision of God and not succumb to the machinations of men, which can be very destructive and attempt to thwart God's will. We have to make sure we are agents that God's will comes to pass. But it's a wake-up call, Brother Brown. It's a wake-up call that we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent, because what has transpired now is the result of what we have done and what we have not done. Because if well-meaning people would get up and go to the polls as they should, mm-hmm. and vote when they should and how they should, then certain consequences follow those results.
Amen.
And now we know, if it didn't know before, that we can't be sleeping on the job when mm-hmm. it comes time to elect presidents who choose Supreme Court leaders, who choose congressional persons, who approve nominations and all of that. We know for sure that we have to do our part. We can't just lay back and watch others work, watch others sacrifice, watch others give their time and their talents, and we do nothing. So I don't know about you, but I'm woke up. Like, you know, but what's that date? What's that election date in November? What date is that? I'm right now. You ready?
Hey, I don't, Dr. Owens, I don't think you're done preaching today yet. You know, sound like, I don't think you're done. I don't think you're done. Amen, amen, amen. That sounded like a little mini sermon there just now. Amen. All right. We need to hear that. We definitely need to hear that. So what you, if I understand, I'm just taking from what you just said. God has given us some solutions. We just need to get off our behinds and take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to switch subjects just a little bit. No, go on, sir. I'm sorry.
God moved on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know.
I trust that God hasn't finished moving, and there are hearts that are mm-hmm. still receptive to the move and will of God to be done.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a majority on the Supreme Court, but if he can handle pharaohs, he can handle judges.
I believe that. Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
You know, all around the world, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God.
Well, you know, that reminds me of Dr. Martin Luther King, and when people thought that all hope was gone, and you know, and he gathered the people together in unity and in spirit, and things happened, didn't it? Things changed at that time, and there's no reason why we can't do that again. Would you agree?
Indeed. We can do anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen. Oh man, I'm having a good time. I don't even want to let you go yet, because I'm sure our audience, they're enjoying that, and they need to hear this, folks. We need to be reminded sometime. I'm going to switch it up just a little bit. You know, the summer season is, it's upon us now, and typically that involves a lot of travel. Now, do you think we should be cautious about COVID as we move about the country?
Oh, absolutely. I think, The evidence this morning is that people have already started to make some wise decisions about using their masks again and
mm-hmm.
and how they handle themselves in congested space. I think if we accepted the challenge to get vaccinated and get boosted, we are seeing that COVID is still being contracted, but we are seeing people by and large going to the hospital or emergency treatment in the ER. We're not seeing them being sick unto death.
Mm.
We're seeing symptoms minimized and manageable, and that's what the whole vaccination and boosting process was meant to do for us. And of those who are contracting COVID now and have taken care of that before time, may be experiencing more severe symptoms than having a common cold, but they are not being hospitalized and thankfully not succumbing to fatality. So mm-hmm. we thank God for that, and it's a wake-up call again to be vigilant and take advantage of the opportunity to get your booster shots if you're still out there in public, still wanting to interact. I don't think anybody wants the loss of that freedom again. But if you want to be able to enjoy your family, your friends, being out in public and not in isolation, then you got to do what you have to do. And as you travel, make sure that you are being mindful of how you handle your personal space and those that you allow in that space, mm-hmm. and under what conditions you're willing to engage with others, because it's not done. And COVID's not the only thing out there.
That's right.
We have seen COVID got some brothers and sisters and spin off. You got to be mindful of everything that's out there when it comes to interaction with other people and modes of travel and foreign destinations and this, that, the other. So
yeah.
I think by now we know what to do. We just have to make sure we do it and not make the impetus be that we are have contracted it again before we do something.
Right. You know, I'm not laughing at COVID or anything like it, but I'm laughing the way you phrased it, said COVID has relatives. Oh, my. Oh, Dr. Owens, I don't want to end this broadcast without you. I just like to ask, is there anything else that you want to share with us before you close us out in prayer?
Well, it's just that, the season of ministry is not over. I know it's a travel season for many going on vacation, but we don't wind down very often here at the church. We are always cranking up. You know, we've got Women's Day led by our Women of Worship coming up on third Sunday. We have an appreciation service for our Mother's Board. We have our Mission Ministry celebrating again on fifth Sunday. Their work never ends, never concludes, never dies. And then on with our church anniversary in August, mm-hmm. and Men's Day and our church picnic and so much to look forward to as the season changes. We're not winding down, we're winding up.
Right. Well, memory serves me correctly. Now, you just recently celebrated your own personal anniversary at the church and a birthday. How was those experiences for you this year?
It was very exciting. It was very exciting to have a weekend of celebration for the anniversary, and is also marking my birthday, which was on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And, to have people to celebrate you and be a part of that is a joy, that you don't have to be by yourself, unto yourself, because nobody cares. part of the joy. Some cares, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and most of my natural family has gone to glory, so my church family is very much my family and
Amen.
My very special close friends, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
We celebrated each other.
Amen. Well, I sent you a message for your birthday, and you didn't answer back. So I said, he's out there having too much fun. He'll get to me. I said, he's having too much fun. I'm not angry about it. I'm glad that you did, sir. I'm glad that you did. Would you please grace us with a prayer?
Indeed. Oh, Lord, we're truly thankful for the opportunity to worship and praise, the fellowship with saints of God who know your name. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you continue to watch over us, keep us. Your faithfulness is proven every day, and we pray that we will be found faithful to you as well. And may we be fruit bearers, Lord God, as we remain connected to the one who gives us our help and our strength. Give us peace, give us hope, give us joy, all the gifts that come from the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And forgive us our sins and shortcomings as we continue to aspire to do our best, our most excellent offering unto you, for you to sanctify for your glory. Use us in the name of Jesus, and let us share in all things that you mean for your people to be a part of, as we receive the inheritance that belongs to us because of Christ.
Let it be so according to your word, according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Dr. Owens. Thank you, Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. Thank you, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you so much. And you, if you love the program, you can tune in each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. 3 p.m. right here on the East Coast, and that's noon on the West. And in the meantime, we're going to close out with this, folks, because I truly believe a change is going to come.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Like the river I've been running, running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it is. Then I go to my brother. Ooh. And I say, brother, but he wound up knocking back down on the knee. Oh, there've been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. Change is gonna come one day. I know a change.